Welcome to the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne. With me, as always, the judge himself, Judge John Hodgman. We're going to go into the courtroom in just a second. But first, this is week two of the Max Fun Drive.
Yeah, thank you so much for making week one so great. I mean, look, we wanted to keep this, you know, Max Fun, but Min Drive, because it's such a strange time. But everyone in their own low-key and wonderful and supportive way, just all the shout-outs on Twitter, all the fun times we had together on the pub quiz. Frankly, it's been just a wonderful distraction for me and obviously a huge boon to Maximum Fun. Because, you know, without Max Fun, without its members, we couldn't keep doing this show this time or any time. Maximum Fun is audience-supported, which means we're free to make the content you enjoy because people like you become members and contribute.
We'll talk more about the Max Fun Drive later on in the show, but you can become a member now at MaximumFun.org/join. That's MaximumFun.org/join. Any level that you're comfortable with, and you can check out the great thank you gifts we have this year there too. It's MaximumFun.org/join. Now, on to this week's case, Vampirical Evidence. Bethany brings the case against her wife, Heather. Heather refuses to watch the final season of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Bethany says since they love the show, they should watch the final season so they can fully appreciate it. Who's right, who's wrong? Only one can decide. Please rise as Judge John Hodgman enters the courtroom and presents an obscure cultural reference.
How could it possibly get uglier? I used to be a highly respected watcher, and now I'm a wounded podcaster with the mystical strength of a doily. I just wish I could sleep. Bailiff Jesse Thorne, swear him in.
Bethany, Heather, please rise and raise your right hands. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God or whatever?
I do.
Do you swear to abide by Judge John Hodgman's ruling, despite the fact that Draculas can have any job, even judge?
Yes.
Judge Hodgman, you may proceed.
I forgot about your Dracula trigger. How could I have forgotten how much you hate Draculas?
It's and like here, the number one thing I hate is those gosh darn Draculas.
I know. They can have any job, right, Jesse?
Any job, any crane operator, for example.
Yeah. I don't think, I guess they could be a nighttime solar panel installer.
Arborist?
Well, nighttime arborist.
Watch out for flying splinters.
Oh, there's a voice. We'll introduce that voice in a moment. But in the meantime, Bethany and Heather, you may be seated for an immediate summary judgment in one of yours favors. Can either of you name the piece of culture that I referenced as I entered the courtroom? Bethany, let's start with you. Bethany, do you have a guess?
I have no idea. I'm going to guess the season 8 of Buffy, which was a in comic book form.
Season 8 of Buffy, which was in comic book form. Now, Heather, you've not seen season 7, right? That's the last televised season. That's the point of this dispute.
Yeah, I have not seen it, but I know a lot that happens in it.
You know a lot about it, and you know a lot about the extra comic book seasons too. You're a real, what's in the world of Buffy fandom? A Jimmy Buffett fan would be a parrot head. Is there a name for someone who is not a fan of Jimmy Buffett necessarily, but instead a fan of Jimmy Buffy, the Vampire Slayer?
I'm actually not sure what we're called.
Okay, interesting. Maybe there isn't a term. We'll find out later. How about that? But in the meantime, do you have a guess as to what piece of culture I was quoting, or paraphrasing, I should say?
I'm going to say I'm not sure. I'm going to say Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie.
Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the movie, which of course predated the television show by some years. How many years? I'm not sure I can remember. Good thing we have an expert coming in soon, flying in as Draculas are wont to do in the form of a bat, because our incredible expert witness, Jane Espenson, is here. One of the top writers for Buffy the Vampire Slayer, wouldn't you say, Jane? You wouldn't.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I was going to say you wouldn't because you're modest. But no,
I would not.
You should not be modest because Jane Espenson is amazing. Jane, can you guess which thing I was quoting?
I really like that guess that it was the movie because otherwise I do not know.
Well, there's no reason you should know, because I don't think you worked on this episode. In fact, or maybe you did, I mean, it was a long time ago. But in fact, spoiler alert, that was a quote from Giles from the very last filmed episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, season 7, episode 22, Chosen, when they're playing Dungeons and Dragons. I looked it up on IMDb, had to, because guess what? I haven't seen that episode either.
Oh.
But you know what episode I did see? End of Days, the one right before it, the penultimate mm-hmm. episode, which credits you as co-writer of that episode, Jane. Do you remember that one?
I do, because I looked it up yesterday.
Feels like a long time ago, doesn't it?
It was a long time ago. Yes, it really genuinely was.
Hey, everybody who's within the sound of my voice, please welcome to the podcast. I mean, stand up if you're not driving in front of your internet radio and give a standing ovation to Jane Espenson. She's a TV writer and one of the best people in the world. She wrote for all your favorites, Once Upon a Time. She was the showrunner of Caprica, the spinoff of Battlestar Galactica. She wrote for Battlestar Galactica, including one very special episode featuring That's the miscasting right. of me, John Hodgman, and, of course, Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And she's, are you allowed to say what you're working on now?
I believe I am. I'm working on a show called The Nevers, coming to HBO next year.
Another Joss Whedon joint, correct?
That's right.
Yeah, so... how did you get involved with the Buffy the Vampire Slayer world?
I was a TV writer working in comedy, and I saw the show Buffy and said, I want to switch to 1 hour television to write for that show.
And you said that into the air, and a Dracula made it happen
yeah,
for you.
Kind of. I wrote a spec episode of NYPD Blue so that I would have a 1 hour writing sample and took it in.
Interesting.
Got hired.
So you were just like, give me any 1 hour drama. Just get me off of this comedy stuff.
No, not at all. It was very much, I want to work on Buffy.
Oh, right. Okay. Not being an employed television writer, Jane, I don't understand. Why is there a reason why you would write a spec script for NYPD Blue if you really wanted to write for Buffy?
That was the way it was done.
Really?
You never wrote an episode of the show you wanted to write for. You wrote a show for another show entirely that just is the same length that, as the show you
wow.
want to write for.
So if you wrote a spec script for the show you wanted to join, that you would look like a real rookie.
Yes, absolutely.
Like a real Nathan Fillion on The Rookie.
Yes, I could not have said that better.
And so you understand the dispute here, Jane?
Yes, I do.
Let me give you some background. Bethany and Heather, we have them on the line here. They've been together since 2008. They've been married since 2011. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And where do you live, Bethany?
We live in Tucson, Arizona.
And Heather, how did this dispute arise between you and Bethany with regard to season 7 of Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Well, honestly, I didn't even know it was a dispute up until like a year ago.
Uh-huh.
I just thought it was like something that like I just never was going to do. And then she one day just started coming up to me like, you should really watch season 7 of Buffy. And I'm like, no. And she's like, you should really watch season 7 of Buffy. And I'm like, no. So it's been a lot of, back and forth of like, you know, I know I understand the reasons why she wants me to watch it, but.
Well, yeah. It would seem like, do you like the show, Heather?
I absolutely love it.
I mean,
yes.
People who like the shows tend to like to watch the shows, all of the ones that were made. Is there a reason that you've avoided season 7?
Yes. Actually, I have three reasons, and they all they're all around my three favorite characters, which is Tara, Anya, and Buffy, and I feel like they weren't treated.
Hang on. Jane Espenson is in the room. How many seasons did you work on, Jane?
I worked on season 3 through 7.
3 through 7. So what do we call fans of Buffy, Jane? Do they have a name?
You know, we can say buffheads, but I don't think that's right.
I don't think
that's right. Buffaroos, I think, is technically buffaroos.
Buffaroo bonsais?
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, so Heather, you're a true buffaroo bonsai. would not hold back their opinion, even of a thing they love, even in the presence of one of the co-creators of the thing they love. So you go ahead and say your truth.
My truth. Okay.
How did Jane Espenson personally mess up the story arc of your three favorite characters?
Well, to start out with Tara, she was like such an amazing addition to the show. And she's actually like one of the first episodes that I ever watched she was in. I came a little bit later to the Buffy thing during season six. So, yeah, I was actually, I recorded the musical episode for a girlfriend at the time in high school, and I sat down and watched it, and I was just kind of fell in love with it. And I hung out with a lot of Xena fans who weren't into Buffy. So when I became a Buffy fan, I didn't have a lot of like Buffy fans to hang out with, but it really didn't matter because, you know, it was a really great show. And yeah, and Tara just like spoke to me, and like how she, like the character, where she came from and who she became, and only to get like, okay, bye. Like, it was sucky, you know. And I know that
what happened that you didn't like?
I might get a little verklempt talking about this, but
I'm counting on it.
But
also be, you know, be reasonably specific so people who have it, who might not know this character or know the show intimately, can kind of follow along with your emotional journey.
All right. So like Tara is Willow's girlfriend, and right. They broke up, which was so like devastating, but you know, when they finally got back together, things seemed like it was gonna be great. And then there are these three nerds in season six, Jonathan, Warren, and Andrew. And Buffy, like, gets, like, foils Warren's plan one too many times. So instead of, like, going at her with, like, mystical things, he goes in with a gun and starts shooting. And Buffy gets shot and Tara gets shot. And then Tara dies and Willow goes crazy.
And you didn't like the way that played out. You felt that was disrespectful to the character that you loved.
Yes, because after everything that like Tara, like her character went through, and how they built her up to be like this like amazing character, not just to Willow but also to like Buffy. She turned like she started becoming really good friends with Buffy and was there for her when Buffy didn't really have anybody else to talk to. So and then just for them to just be like, okay, this is how Tara is, you know. Got to end.
You're still feeling it.
Yeah, every day.
Wow. And does this go back to your first watching experience, like when it was on the air?
Yes.
Right. So this, and so sometime back in the early 2000s, you saw this episode, you saw season six, and you made a decision. You're like, I don't think season seven is for me. I'm a little upset about this. I'm going to know everything about season seven and the comics and everything else, but I just don't feel like watching it. Would that be a fair assessment of what happened?
Yeah, and I don't know, like watching season seven without Tara would be really sucky.
Yeah, so you made a choice. And was this before you and Bethany met?
Yes.
Right. So this predates your relationship. First of all, just a quick follow up, Heather, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
You said you had been hanging around a bunch of Xena Warrior Princess fans. That's my jam. That's my
many, many Xena conventions I've gone to. Yeah. I met Bruce Campbell.
Whoa. You're talking about friend of the show, Bruce Campbell?
Yeah. I love Bruce Campbell.
Jesse, have we had Bruce Campbell on the podcast?
We haven't had Bruce Campbell on the podcast, which seems like an oversight given that you used to be his literary agent.
Yeah. We got to make a note. Let's get Bruce Campbell on the podcast. Was there a rivalry between the Buffaroo Banzais and the Xenons?
Well, I kind of
did. You catch heat for going to Buffy after you liked Xena so much? I didn't. I
felt
curious.
Yeah, I kind of felt like it was kind of like I'm still really good friends with the girl who I met through Xena, and then I was actually, it's kind of funny because, you know, I'm pretty gay, but I was in the GJRS Romantic Society, what is Gabrielle and Joxer Romantic Society, which I think is really funny. Ugh, yeah, I know.
Sometimes I sing the Joxer the Mighty song to myself.
Oh, me too. Me too.
I just want everyone to know I have no idea what you're talking about.
Joxer the Mighty, da, 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 da. Ted Raimi. This is the brother of Sam Raimi playing Joxer.
Yes.
I'm building up a lot of headcanon right now.
But yeah, no, Xena was a big part of my life. And when I started watching Buffy, my Xena friends were just like, traitor. They were not very happy. But
really?
I ended up I love Xena, but Buffy ended up speaking to me more. So
right, until it stopped speaking to you. Or it said the wrong thing.
Yeah, season one through the episode right before Tara gets shot, I'm all on board. I'll watch those all day, every day.
Jane Espenson, I miss all these shows so much.
I know. It was a golden age.
It really was. I mean, I guess there's stuff out there like this now that people like so much, but it feels like a special time. Was it a special time?
It was for me. I was employed on my favorite show.
Yeah. How do you feel about when a fan who is clearly as, you know, devoted and thoughtful as Heather takes a real issue with the treatment of a character?
Oh, it's hard to do anything but agree. I mean, every show every viewer of every show is in love with the show in their head. That's a combination of what we give them and what they bring to it from their own lives. So there is no telling any fan that they're wrong or mistaken or took something the wrong way or here is our intent, because that show, they're legitimately describing the show that they experienced. So yeah. Your feelings are absolutely valid. And I feel like I should emphasize that often killing a character gives that actor so much to do, and, you know, it's not something that's generally done as a punishment.
That's an interesting point, because I mean, I would think killing a character makes it so that they can't be on the show anymore and they lose the job. Like, say, if one was killed in only their second episode of Blindspot. That did not feel like I got something to do. That felt like I got something taken away from me. That was very special.
On Buffy, you know, a character can be dead and can come back. So, you know, when Jonathan died, I knew that wasn't Danny Strong's last time on the show.
Let's take a quick break from the courtroom to talk about this year's Max Fun Drive. We'll be back in there in just a minute with more about Bethany and Heather. And, of course, expert witness Jane Espenson. It is Max Fun Drive. I have been watching all of the tweets with the hashtag Max Fun Drive. I was up at my cabin taking a little mental health break, and I did check in a few times. And this is the best part of the drive for us, is seeing the kind things that people say. One of them was from @TerrenceBell. They wrote, in recognition of the kindness of Jesse Thorne and how much joy and laughter Hodgman and Sawbones have brought into our lives, I've purchased my daughter Madison a membership to Maximum Fun HQ as part of a cobbled together present for her 16th birthday this Tuesday. Money well spent. Happy birthday, Madison.
Happy birthday, Madison.
A big, big shout out from someone named Enrica Gug to iPodius. The podcast we made, because last year's Max Fun Drive was a success.
Enrica GG says, I'm enjoying the iBodies podcast so much. I just made my first donation. Thank you. Thank you. I mean, iBodies started as a joke during the last Max Fun Drive, as a gag, as a dare, that if we reached a certain level of membership, I would force Elliot Kalin to do a dedicated miniseries podcast about the miniseries I, Claudius. And it ended up being one of the most wonderful experiences I've ever had, and so much fun, how much fun people had with it. It was so so generous of people to take their time to watch this 1976 miniseries. I mean, one of the things that makes Max Fun so special is that we're not putting podcasts out into a void. I feel like whether it's through social media the virtual stuff we've been doing during the Max Fun Drive, and each and every time we sit down to podcast, I feel like we're in a conversation with a group of listeners whom I really enjoy, who really make me laugh as much as I hope I make them laugh, who provide me with as much happy distraction as I hope that we provide for you. And hearing from you about how much you value our work and the works of other shows on Max Fun, particularly during this time of social distancing, has been so gratifying. I mean, this has been hard, but having familiar voices to make us laugh and think, to interact with, to help us feel normal, I mean, it's extremely important to all of us. And, you know, if that sounds like you and you're able to go to MaximumFun.org/join and help us out during this time and help us keep this going, please do so. But if you're not in a position to do that right now, this spreading the word is not only make us feel happy, but it helps get the word out there to those who may be able to help. So thank you for that.
Yeah, you can join us starting at $5 a month for, it's now like hundreds of episodes of bonus content across the network, all of which you can listen to in your favorite podcast app. If you join us at $10 a month, you get a Max Fun membership card, a cool pin, you get all the bonus content. $20 a month, you get this year's special gift, a Max Fun game pack with custom dice and a custom deck of playing cards, which is really cool. The playing cards have Max Fun in jokes throughout. They're really great. All you have to do is go to MaximumFun.org/join to become a member. And this week, John, there's a new thing we're doing, which is people often ask us, they say like, listen, I can't get to the next membership level. This week we're offering boosts. So if you're already a member and you want to bump it up a few dollars or $5 or $10 or whatever it is, $3, $2, you can do that now at MaximumFun.org/join. Most importantly, though, you know, our show and all the shows at Maximum Fun and all the employees at Maximum Fun and all the creators at Maximum Fun really are directly supported by members. It is a one-to-one thing, you know. This is what makes this possible. And so we really want to express our thanks to everybody who's able to become a member of Maximum Fun. I know, you know, in this scary time, it has been a great comfort to me that our members have stood up for us and allowed us to continue this somewhat goofy enterprise. It means a lot, and we're grateful to everybody who can make it happen.
Well, Jesse, can I just say a thing about the podcast network that you founded and the mission that you created by founding it? It's not goofy. Don't say that about this. It's not goofy. I know you're self-deprecating. But one of the things that's really true and has become clearer in this time more than ever, there are things that movies can do. There are things that TV shows can do in terms of spectacle, in terms of surprise, in terms of enjoyment that podcasts can't quite do. But there's something that podcasts do, I think, almost better than anything, any other form of media, and that is to keep you company. You know, podcasts live in your car, in your earbuds as you're falling asleep, you know, when you're doing your overnight shift at your job. And they keep me company when I'm alone. And I'm grateful to be able to keep you company when you're alone, particularly during this time when so many of us are literally alone. And I really want to extend our special thanks to those of you who are in healthcare and retail and teaching and other essential jobs right now. We're thinking about you a lot when we make these shows. We're grateful for the work that you do. We hope that Judge John Hodgman and all of the Max Fun shows are a good diversion for you right now. And we're supporting you in the work that you're doing in return. So I just want to say to the whole community, you know, I think podcasts keep you company. And what's special about Maximum Fun is that the Max Fun community keeps us company right back. And whether it's going to MaximumFun.org/join and helping out at this time if you can, or whether it's just spreading the word and shooting us a line, it's been so, so less lonely knowing that you're out there. So thank you.
You can join us at MaximumFun.org/join. Let's get back to the case.
So Bethany, it sounds like Heather made a pretty reasonable adult decision to not continue watching the show. Tell me why you feel it's important that Heather watch the final season, the seventh season, and overall what the show has meant in your lives together.
Well, yeah, so my argument for why I would like Heather to watch season 7 with me is kind of twofold. And the first is just that I when we're talking about Buffy, I want us both to have the full understanding of the entire series. And I know that Heather knows the major plot points that happen in season 7, but has not experienced all of it. I think that, Heather, you have watched a couple of the early episodes, but not in a long time and not much. So I would just like for us to both have, you know, the same understanding of Buffy as a series, which I don't think Heather can have without watching all of it. And secondarily, I think that there are some great redeeming parts in season 7 that Heather would really appreciate, especially as regards one of Heather's favorite characters.
The one we were just discussing or a different one?
Oh, no. Dawn, who Heather also really loves. Dawn has some really great moments in season 7. Yeah. You really see her kind of come into her own as like a person rather than as this like mystical character that she was in season 5, rather than being just like the Slayer's like baby sister who's kind of underfoot. She really, you know, there's an episode called Potential where like she really has her moment and you kind of see the young woman that she's like grown into who's a hero in her own right, even though she doesn't have mystical powers like Buffy does.
So Heather, are you aware of Dawn's arc as just described?
Yes.
By Bethany?
I am indeed. I do love Dawn a lot.
But this is not a deal maker for you.
No.
All right. So Bethany, have you seen all 7 seasons? Have you seen every episode of season 7?
Yes.
And what's your Buffalo Banzai journey? How did you come to the show and had you watched it before you two got together or?
Oh, absolutely. Did you?
Okay. So you had seen it all the way through.
I don't think I'd seen every single episode before Heather and I started dating, but I had watched a lot of it, especially like seasons 4 and 5, you know, when there's a lot of Willow and Tara. And I'd seen a lot of season 2, but I don't think I'd watched all of it all the way through until we watched it together.
So you were dating as you were working your own way through Buffy. What was your reaction when you realized that Heather had not seen the last season?
Shock and dismay.
Can you describe what happened? Where were you and how did it come up?
I actually can't remember the exact moment when I realized that Heather had not watched season 7 and was not going to.
You were probably watching one of the season 6 episodes. I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Mm-hmm. It was probably Heather calling it quits at a strategic moment in season 6. That I fully realized, but it's been something that, you know, I've been aware of for, you know, a decade.
Right. So for 10 years, you've been trying to get them to watch this season of television. And now it comes to this courtroom to decide what will happen.
Yes.
Mm. Why can't you just let Heather have it Heather's way? Why does it bother you so much? Bethany.
I just want to experience it together. You know, I think that there are some really poignant moments that I'd like to enjoy together. You know, kind of like Dawn's storyline, you know, some of the other really good episodes in season 7. I would just like to experience it with my wife.
So Heather, Bethany feels like the two of you are really missing out on an experience together because you don't want to watch this season. You wouldn't watch it just to make your wife happy?
I mean, it pulls my heartstrings, and I've thought about it. Mm-hmm. I think I need a little bit more persuading. I don't know.
What could persuade you? It's been a decade.
I guess only you.
Me?
Your ruling.
A decisive ruling.
So Judge John Hodgman could persuade you, not the person you've chosen to spend your life with.
Well, she knows why, though, why I don't really want to watch the season 7.
Bethany, are you a completist by nature?
Yes. How could you tell?
Well, I mean, you have you read all the comics, the extra seasons?
I haven't.
No. Incompletist.
I did read season 8. It really became a different medium and felt like a different thing to me than the series did.
Right. It wasn't the show that you loved because it went in a direction you didn't feel comfortable with. And therefore, you made an adult choice to disengage from it and remember the thing you loved. That'd be fair to say, Bethany?
It changed from a show to a comic.
Oh, so comic books are a lesser art form, and they don't.
Oh no,
Jane. Remind me, there's a season 8 in comic book form and a season 9 in comic book form.
I know many. I have written many Buffy comics, and I believe that did go into higher season numbers. Yes.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. So yeah, would you say that to be a true Buffy completist, you would have to read those comics? And that therefore, Bethany is a hypocrite? I mean, I'm not putting words in your mouth.
I think you're making a really interesting case. And you may be convincing me because I came in with a different opinion about this. Yeah.
What was your opinion as you came in? And how is that changing as we speak?
Oh, actually, no. No, it's the same opinion. You're just making it stronger and zestier. No, I feel that Heather shouldn't have to watch it if they don't want to watch it. I know what it is to have something where you feel that little spike of panic when a video starts running of like, I'm not going to like this. And it really does feel like panic. And I wouldn't want anyone to have to feel that. And I think you are poking John in a very effective way at a strong argument that I hadn't thought of.
Well, is there any show or movie or whatever where you loved it but you had to tap out because it just wasn't going where you wanted it to go?
I'm
thinking of it myself. Like, I feel like the first 2 seasons of Lost were like, they're my favorite thing of all time. And then it started going in directions that I felt were less interesting and dramatically productive for me. And I did not get mad at it. Indeed, I watched it all, but not because I felt it was my homework. Like, it still gave me basic pleasure to watch it. But there was a point where I was just like, this is a different show now. Love you guys. Have fun on your journey. I'm along for it, but I just can't be in it the same way.
Yeah, I tapped out of Glee that way.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah. It happens. It happens.
It does. And I think if there were something that legit hurt my soul if I were watching a show, so it wasn't just like, I still love it, but like, oh, that hurt me because I had bonded with a character. Yeah, I would definitely tap out.
Yeah. Bethany, I was needling you a little bit for being A, not a true completist because you hadn't read the comics, and B, being an elitist snob because you think comics aren't as good as television. I know that you don't feel that way.
Good.
Heather has expressed a high emotional stake, whether you describe it as anxiety or pain, as Jane was pointing it out, or something else. A high emotional trigger potential in watching season 7 that they wish to avoid. Bethany, do you have a similar kind of emotional feeling of missing outness, a fear of missing seasons when you have not watched a whole thing? Because you describe yourself as a completist.
I mean, I do like to finish things, but I don't think that I feel any panic or anything like that.
No.
It's really more, it's not that everything has to be finished. It's really this one thing, you know, I mean, it is one of the things that we talked about, I think, the first night that we ever spent time together. Like, it just has been a constant in our relationship for as long as we've known each other. So I think this thing is different from most other things.
Why do you think it's so meaningful to you?
Willow and Tara were one of the first lesbian couples on primetime TV.
Yeah.
One of the first, if not the first, lesbian kiss on primetime television, and it wasn't done to titillate or for ratings or anything like that. You know, Willow and Tara really were treated as a real couple, just like any other couple on that show, and it wasn't something that I think Heather and I had like seen in a show that we related to as much or that felt as current and relevant for us.
Yeah, you saw it and you felt seen.
Mm-hmm.
But Heather, you kind of jumped in with a little comment there that I couldn't quite hear when Bethany was talking about the first kiss on first
Oh, I was like a lot of shows at that time were having people like in like Ally McBeal, like they were having people make out, like two ladies make out and like other things, women make out just for ratings. And that's not what they did on Buffy, which really made like made everything like more real.
It never felt exploitative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, there was a kiss earlier than Buffy on Ellen, which I also wrote for.
Yes.
Oh.
So I know for a fact, because I wrote both of them, that, that the Ellen one was first.
You wrote both you, kisses? Jane.
Thank you.
I wrote on both shows. I definitely wrote kisses on Ellen, but I don't know that I wrote. I didn't write the first one, definitely, because that was the season before I was there.
Was there a discussion in the room about what Bethany and Heather are talking about? How to portray this relationship and to portray this relationship?
Yes, and it, and they're absolutely right. It was not about ratings. It was very much just saying, this is a thing missing from our show. It feels right for these characters that we're going to do because it's right for our story and it's right for the world. And they will definitely be treated like any other couple on the show.
Jane, I want to compliment you on how that felt in the show. And also, as someone who really hates vampires... I call them Draculas. I'm really grateful at how you portrayed those of us who hate Draculas.
Thank you. That means a lot.
A lot of people just do it for ratings, is why I mentioned.
But Jesse, there's some pretty good Draculas on the show. There's some good guy Draculas, right?
Yeah, I think there are some good guy Draculas on Buffy.
Yeah. How do you feel that that is a misrepresentation of Draculas in real life?
I think we should be suspicious of all Draculas. I guess it's conceivable there could be a good Dracula, but I've never met one.
Your legend of intolerance continues. Is there any other shows that, that you two are into where a dispute like this has come up?
There's really nothing that we have had this kind of dispute on. Like Jane mentioned, Heather did stop watching Glee and I finished it, but I don't wish that on Heather.
You're a completist.
I don't want to inflict that. I think that has to be taken on by choice.
Sometimes the journey of the completist is a lonely one.
So true.
Yeah, just ask the people who are finally getting to this episode of Judge John Hodgman 12 years from now.
Let's put a pin in that. I'll discuss that in my verdict. And you say this has been going on for 10 years. How often does it come up?
Oh, a few times a week.
Whoa, what?
Yeah.
Wow. That was
Heather, and I object.
Heather said a few times a week, and Bethany objects. Is that correct? Do I understand this correctly?
Yes.
What is your objection, Bethany?
I think that maybe it's come up a few times a week recently because we knew that, you know, this dispute was going to be settled once and for all. So obviously, we're bringing it all up now because after today, it's going to be said and done. I think before that, it came up only occasionally, once a month or less.
Once or twice a month, maybe. I don't know.
Once or twice a month for 10 years.
I know, it's still a lot of times.
That's 120 or 240 times.
Thank you, Jesse, for doing the math. I'm really very bad at math. It's really terrible. It's Jane Espenson, I can't subtract. Did you know that?
I didn't know that, and I'm shocked.
Give me a subtraction problem.
14 minus 9.
I don't know. Wait a minute. 14. It's either 13 or 15, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, wow.
I'm genuinely stumped.
Very bad problem.
Genuinely stumped. Now, give me an addition problem.
9 plus 14.
That's, 23.
Yes.
Look, it took me a second, but I got there pretty well. You have to admit.
I do. I do admit that.
14... minus 10 would be 4. Mm-hmm. Never mind. Never mind. Oh, 5. The answer is 5. Did I get
it right?
That's right.
That's correct. You did eventually wander your way there.
Can't do it. Can't do the math, but those are numbers. The point is, Bethany and Heather, these are numbers. You're putting up real numbers. And how does the dispute manifest? Like, sniping or like sobbing fights or
just
disdain.
Bringing it, like if I'm watching a season, like I'll get to a certain episode of season 6 and then start back to a certain other season. And then every time I do that, she's like, well, you know, you could just watch season 7. And I'm like, yes, but I won't. And then it just is like a cycle of like every time I'm like watching Buffy. And that's quite a lot, actually.
Yeah. How many times are you watching Buffy during the week? And remember, I don't do math.
Oh, my goodness.
is it part of your daily routine?
Pretty much. I watch it like 6 or 7 times a week, depending on. It's just a feel-good show for me, even though lots of crazy things happen.
Oh, boy. And then how much other stuff are you watching?
Right now, actually, I'm watching Grey's Anatomy. But we finished Castle Rock, which is good. What else?
Season 2?
Best season. Season 1 was so good, but season 2 is so much better.
Lizzie Kaplan.
Excellent. Yeah.
Do you know, I have a friend who writes on that show named Obehi Janice, and she's also an incredible actor, and she's on a TV show that I co-wrote with my friend David Reese called Town. It's got a dirty name. I'm sorry.
We'll have to watch it.
You don't have to watch any. Look, this is what it comes down to, right? Do you have to watch something? Or do you have choice and autonomy in this life? Are you bound by the desire for completionism, minus comic books, obviously? Or are you bound by your own personal preferences and being in touch with knowing what actually makes you happy? Bethany.
Yes.
I know what you want. You want me to make Heather watch this thing. I want you to look deep in your soul and answer me as truly as possible, using more than one word if possible. How do you think it would feel to be sitting down and watching season 7 with your beloved because a man on a podcast made them do it? It started out as a good feeling, right? Until I talked about the man on the podcast. And it started to feel weird, right?
It's not just any man, you know.
It's
a judge. I think that I could push past the fact that Heather is only doing it by court order and still have a great time and really enjoy it.
Would you feel excited?
Yes.
Would your heart beat a little faster?
Probably.
Would it be beating a little faster because you never thought this day would come?
Yes.
Or would it be beating faster because you finally got your way?
I mean, both.
You know what? I appreciate your honesty. Heather.
Yeah?
Do you take any pleasure in denying Bethany this desire to watch season 7 with you? Is this fun for you?
No. I hate saying no, like, because I know it's something that she wants me to do. So it's hard to say no, but right now I'm sticking to my guns.
Is there something that, if I were to rule in your favor and say you don't have to watch season 7, is there something you can offer as in compensation? A season of some other show that maybe Bethany wants you to watch, or a special meal to be paid for or prepared, or something else adorable?
I'll finish The Good Place with her.
Yes, you must finish The Good Place.
Wait a minute. Bethany, you haven't finished The Good Place?
Not yet.
It's because of me, because I haven't been wanting to watch it, so. But I will watch it with her.
Heather has offered to finish The Good Place with you. Is this a point of dispute?
It's not a point of dispute, but it is something that I have been wanting to finish and always intended to, whether Heather wanted to watch it with me or not.
So you're saying Heather's offer is no offer at all?
Pretty much.
Well, I would have finished it either way, but it would be lovely to watch with Heather.
Before I go into my screening room and make my decision, Jane Espenson, any last thoughts that might affect my decision?
There is an episode in season 7 called Storyteller that I wrote that Tom Lenk does such a great job with it, and it's such a unique, zesty little episode. That Heather, you might enjoy that one, but I wouldn't, it's entirely, if you think it would delight you, that might be the one to watch. But that's all I have to say.
Not Conversations with the Dead People. You're a Hugo Award winner.
Also pretty cool.
Sorry, that was Bethany. I think that one's my favorite.
I go for comedy. I will always pick comedy.
Let the record show that Bethany is extremely adept at manipulating the expert witness, or at least trying to.
Yeah, we can hear Jane Espenson blushing from
London. I know.
Yeah. Too true.
Before I go into my chambers, then, Heather, would you watch that episode if I were to order it?
Yes.
All right. Interesting. Okay. I think I've heard everything I need to in order to make my decision. I'm going to go into my private screening room where the bootleg VHS copy of Brass Eye is on constant loop. And I will be back in a moment with my decision.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Bethany, how are you feeling about your chances?
Really bad. But I knew I was probably fighting a losing battle since the judge says, you know, people don't like what they don't like.
Did you know that I haven't watched the end of my favorite television show of all time?
What is it?
The Wire.
Is it because you don't want it to end?
Yeah, I got upset that it was going to be over.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end, maybe like the final season isn't the strongest season of the show, but that wasn't why at all. Like, it truly was just because I got sad that I wouldn't get to watch The Wire anymore.
Yeah, that's what I thought, Heather. I thought that's what your issue was going to be, and I'm sorry to hear that it was Tara, and I'm very sorry.
Heather, how are you feeling?
I'm feeling okay. If I win, I win. And if I don't, then Bethany is going to be super stoked. So
that's a generous way to think of it. We'll see what Judge John Hodgman has to say about all this when we come back in just a second.
Hello, I'm your Judge John Hodgman. The Judge John Hodgman podcast is brought to you every week by you, our members, of course. Thank you so much for your support of this podcast and all of your favorite podcasts at MaximumFun.org, and they are all your favorites. If you want to join the many member supporters of this podcast and this network, boy, oh boy, that would be fantastic. Just go to MaximumFun.org/join.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Stitch Fix.
You know that boost of confidence you get when you put on an outfit that just feels good? You know what that's like. That's what I get when I use Stitch Fix. With Stitch Fix, you get a human stylist, not AI. A human being who understands your style, size, and budget. They do all the shopping for you, and it's the easiest way to update your wardrobe this season or any other.
This professional stylist picks the clothes. They can either send you a box where anything you don't want is unbelievably easy to return, or they can make a little storefront for you just from stuff that they recommend for your taste and your body. It is an absolutely incredible service. They give you styling advice, outfit recommendations, the whole thing soup to nuts. And like I said, if you don't want it, if you don't like it, it is unfathomably easy to send it back. They give you an envelope that's big enough, that has the postage and the labels on it. All you have to do is shove the thing in there, close it up, and drop it off at your local mailing center. It is that easy.
Can I also say the stuff that my stylist at Stitch Fix picks for me, I really like it. Like, they know me, and it's really terrific. Plus, if you've got small people in your life, sadly, my small people are now adults shopping for themselves. But if you've got little kids, it's a terrific way to get togs for your kids. Style that makes you feel as you want to look. Get started today at StitchFix.com/JJHO. That's StitchFix.com/JJHO. StitchFix.com/JJHO.
The Judge John Hodgman podcast is also brought to you this week by Aura Frames.
Hey, Mother's Day is coming up. Do you have a mom in your life that you'd like to celebrate? There are very few better ways than giving an Aura frame to someone you care about. These are beautifully Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos of your memories with your mom, stepmom, mentor, friend, whatever it is in your life who might enjoy seeing photos from your life, Aura frames are the way to go.
Judge, there's a very special mom in my life, Ms. Teresa Thorne.
Yes.
That's my wife and also a whole human being in her own right. Guess what's on her bedside table? Yes, that's right. You guessed it in one, an Aura frame. What I love about the Aura frame is you don't have to load a bunch of stuff onto an SD card or whatever, like with the old digital frames. It is so easy to get the pictures on there. So like when Teresa texts me a cute picture of one of our children or our dog, or one of our siblings texts us a cute picture of one of them or one of their children, all I have to do is hit that share button on my phone and I can share it right to the frame and then it lives there for as long as I want. I can also take it off whenever I want, but I don't even have to open the Aura Frames app, which is a great app, but I don't even have to go there. It just goes straight into wherever I want it, whichever frame I want, or I have multiple Aura Frames in my house or all of them. It is incredibly easy. That's why Wirecutter chose it as the best digital photo frame. That's why it's one of Oprah's favorite things. It is guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame.
That's A-U-R-A Frames.com. Use the code Hodgman at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi. This is Biz, and this is the final season of One Bad Mother, a comedy podcast about parenting. This is going to be a year of celebrating all that makes this podcast and this community magical.
I'm so glad that I found your podcast.
I just cannot thank you enough for just being the voice of reason as I'm trying to figure all of this out.
Thank you, and cheers to your incredible show and the vision you had to provide this space for all of us.
This is still a show about life after giving life. And yes, there will be swears. You can find us on MaximumFun.org. And as always, you are doing a great job.
All right, class. Tomorrow's exam will cover the science of perfect pitch, the history of pride flags, and speedrunning video games. Any questions? Ah, yes, you in the back. What is this?
It's the podcast Let's Learn Everything,
where we learn about science and a bit of everything else.
My name's Tom. I study cognitive and computer science, but I'll also be your teacher for intermediate emojis.
My name's Caroline, and I did my master's in biodiversity conservation, and I'll be teaching you intro to things the British Museum stole.
My name's Ella. I did a PhD in stem cell biology, so obviously I'll be teaching you the history of fan fiction.
Class meets every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
So do I still get credit for this?
No.
Obviously not.
No.
It's a podcast.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman re-enters the courtroom and presents his verdict.
This is a long one. That's because I don't want it to end. Aww. I don't want it to end. Mm-hmm. I like talking to Bethany and I like talking to Heather. You're adorable and
Thank
smart
you.
And funny and great. Jane Espenson, you know how I feel. I hope you do.
One
of my very favorite
Aww.
People in the world. You made my dream come true to be on Battlestar Galactica.
Yeah, you're very welcome.
Well, maybe I shouldn't have been so welcome.
You were awesome. You were fantastic.
Well, that's kind of you to say. But when I first accidentally went on television and I got a big agent, they're like, what do you want to do, John? What do you want to do? You can do anything you want. And I'm like, I don't belong on television. You're being absurd. I guess I would be a dream to be on Battlestar Galactica. But don't go too far. You know, don't push on that. And the next thing I know, I got this offer to be on Battlestar Galactica on an episode written by Jane Espenson, whom I had already met at that This American Life thing in Los Angeles and adored and admired. And I looked through the script, and do you know what, Jane? I had one of the most terrified feelings of my life because you gave me lines.
I did. You had to say words.
I didn't want to talk on the show. The most I wanted to say was, aye. That's all I only wanted to be. I wanted to be like a space bartender mopping up a space bar with a space rag. You know what I mean? I just wanted to be, I wanted to be like Pee Wee Herman at the end of Pee Wee's Big Adventure in the background of his own movie. Paging Mr. Herman. That's all I wanted. Like, you took work away from Canadian actors and gave it to me. I don't know whether it was good or bad for the show. All I know is it was one of the best days of my life. And then hanging out with you in Vancouver afterward, and we had dinner, and Edward James almost came over. Holy moly. Bethany and Heather, are you hearing this?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Like, I got to be inside television. Because I'm like you two. I watch it. I love it. It was a real Pandora's box that I walked into, getting to be inside television. It was too much for me.
I bet.
It was too overwhelming. Because these things that we love, they're real in our heads. That's what makes our connection to them so strong. And not that I didn't have a great time with Katie Sackhoff and Michael Trucco and all the other great actors that I got to pretend to be an actor with. We all had a good time. But, you know, it was weird to be there on the set and know that at that point the show was coming to an end, you know, and to be there with the actors as they talked about how their real lives were going to change and they're going to move back to LA or they had to line up another job. It took me out of the show that I loved in a way. Even though I was in it, it took me out of it. And in many ways, the show did to me what I did to other viewers of the show. As the internet reported, the moment my big old face showed up on television, I took them out of it, took them out of their show. They're like, what's the PC doing there? Get him off the screen. But it was a great experience. But these things are real. And I was with Jane. I thought for sure that Heather was going to come in here going like, I don't want to watch the seventh season because then it will finally be over. And as long as I never watch the seventh season, it'll be like the chapter of my favorite book that I slow walk through. I just don't want it to end. And if I watch the seventh season, it'll finally be over because, of course, those comic books don't count. Patooey, the worst comic books. But that's not what Heather reported. What Heather reported was, Bethany, as you heard, you were here, and apparently you've been married for years and together for a decade. Well, you've heard at least, what was it, 120 to 240 times, Jesse?
Yeah, that's correct.
That Heather had an adverse emotional reaction to the way a favorite character and an on-screen relationship that was so meaningful to you both was handled. And no discredit to the makers of TV shows. They got to make the TV show the way they make the TV show. That's the way it goes. Mm-hmm. But there are times when the real show that you have conjured in your head had bonded, the collaboration that happens between a single viewer, reader, listener, and a beloved piece of culture had come to an end. And, I mean, I don't think you're going to be surprised, Bethany, that I feel like that end has to be respected. Bethany, as I mentioned before, a completist's road is a lonely road. I understand the impulse to want to read every little bit of that comic book, every last issue of The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen by Alan Moore and the illustrator whose name I've forgotten. I'm really mad because he's a brilliant illustrator. And I'm sorry to mention comic books in front of you because obviously they're garbage. But, you know, I like them. And yet, sometimes that becomes a slog and a burden. I don't think that that's what's going on with you and season 7 of Buffy, Bethany.
No.
I don't think it's going on with you at all. I don't think you're one of those completists who have to feel a compulsion to absorb culture completely and in a certain way. This message is not for you. This message is for all the poor, lonely souls that I hear from on Twitter and the Maximum Fun subreddit and in my email saying, I just finally got halfway through your podcast after 3 years of listening. Can't wait for the next 6 years of stuff you've already recorded. I'll get there eventually. This message is for all of you JJ Ho completists out there. You're off the hook. You don't have to do what you're doing. I know Jesse told you in an episode number that you probably remember and noted down that the way to listen to a podcast is the most recent episode and then start from the beginning. But if you're truly a completist, you know that I disagreed with him then. You listen to whatever you want, in whatever order you want. The show changes, is different. Maybe the show you love, the Judge John Hodgman you love, ended at episode 200. I know there are people who stopped listening after we stopped with the soft jazz and clearing the docket at the end of the episode. That's their Judge John Hodgman. Just as Heather's Buffy ended in season 6 and or continues in her own fanfic and brain and headcanon and everything else. And if this were merely a question of Heather being sad or afraid to finish a thing, then I would order in your favor, because finishing a thing when you don't want to let it go, that's a thing that has to happen. That's a grown-up, hard, but it's part of absorbing the whole thing, the whole piece of culture that you love. But not finishing a thing because you feel like it went in a direction that I don't like anymore, and it honestly is painful for me to contemplate watching it. That's NG. It stands for no good. Can't order that. People like what they like. People don't like what they don't like. People can't like what they haven't seen. But Heather shouldn't be forced to watch something that they don't want to watch, that they are concerned, especially if they're concerned that it would be emotionally painful. Just so their most beloved person on earth, that's you, Bethany, can check off some box. However, in the spirit of compromise and marital surrender, which in a good marriage, everyone surrenders all the time, both ways.
Yep.
If I were you, Bethany, I would take Heather's good faith offer to watch the episode that Jane recommended. Which one is it again, Jane?
Storyteller.
Storyteller. I would take that and run with it. This is the sound of a gavel. Judge John Hodgman rules. That is all.
Please rise as Judge John Hodgman exits the courtroom. Heather, how do you feel?
Darn good. But I love my wife, so I don't want to see her sad.
How about you, Bethany?
I knew it was a long shot, so I feel all right. I'm glad to have it settled.
Jane, how do you feel?
I feel fantastic. This was, I think that was a good verdict, and it was lovely to get to meet you, Bethany and Heather.
It was nice talking to you.
It was amazing to talk to you. Yeah, you're one of our heroes.
Yes.
Oh, yay!
Before we go, do you have any other questions you want to talk to Jane? Because you will never speak to her again.
Jane, what is your favorite show that you have never written on?
Great question.
Oh boy, that if you're opening up to all of history, I gotta say MASH. God, I would have loved to have been a writer back in the era of writing for MASH. Yeah,
you would be a great MASH writer.
I would. I would have loved that.
Come on, what would it take to reboot MASH? I mean, that's. I feel like just because we said it, it's happening now. Jane, is there anything you want to let people know about before you go back off into the late night of London, England?
Just thanks everyone for continuing to watch Buffy. I'm delighted to hear people still sit down and watch it as a daily experience. Amazing.
They said 6 or 7 times a week. If I'm doing my math right, that's 120 times a month. So.
That's right.
Yep.
Jane, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Bethany and Heather, thanks so much for being on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure.
Yes, had fun.
Another Judge John Hodgman case in the books. We want to thank every single person who has gone the extra mile to become a Max Fund member. Thank you for making this show and all of our work possible. The fact that we are able to do this independently with direct support from our audience
it remains a marvel to me. This is this is not the business that I imagined I would be in when I was doing my college radio show 20 years ago. It is something that has developed out of an incredible supportive community over decades. And as the world has gotten very hard around us, I have felt even more profoundly grateful that that this is how I make my living, and how we're able to make these shows. So thank you to everybody, not just folks who have the dough to be members right now, but everybody who's supported us by listening, spreading the word, sending us a kind tweet or email. Everybody, we just want to say thanks.
So if you haven't had a chance to become a member yet, I'll say that URL again, MaximumFun.org/join, or just, you know, send it to a friend if you want to, or write it down on a piece of paper and leave it under a windshield wiper or something. Any little thing really helps. And we're glad to be here for you, and we're grateful that you're here for us. Thank you.
Now, before we dispense some swift justice, we want to thank Kathleen O'Donnell for naming this week's episode Vampirical Evidence. If you'd like to name a future episode, like Judge John Hodgman on Facebook, we regularly put out our calls for submissions there. Follow us on Twitter at Jesse Thorne and at Hodgman. Hashtag your Judge John Hodgman tweets, hashtag JJHO. And check out the Max Fun subreddit, MaximumFun.reddit.com, to chat about this week's episode. We're on Instagram at Judge John Hodgman, where you can see lots of great evidence and, you know, I'd say 40% funny pictures of pets doing something dumb. This week's episode was recorded by Jim Blackwood at Arizona Public Media and our friend Ben Partridge in London, Yay. England. Thanks to Ben Partridge, bong, the host of the bong. Brilliant and amazing Beef and Dairy Network podcast. One of the most hilarious shows in the entire Max Fun lineup. If you've never checked it out, oh man, it's so funny. I think it might be
it's really great.
My favorite funny one. I love it so much. This episode produced by Jennifer Marmer and Hannah Smith. Now, swift justice, where we answer your small disputes with a quick judgment. Tara says, I say we need several cheese knives for cheeses of different textures. My husband says we just need a regular kitchen knife. I feel only a former monger of cheese can help us resolve this disagreement.
Disqualified.
Please note. Right? No, I got to finish reading this. Please note my terrible use of puns is not on trial.
Oh, I'm sorry. It is. It is, madam. But I can't take too much issue, as I am the co-host of a once a decade podcast about cheese with Jordan Morris called Shooting the Breeze. So named by Jesse Thorne.
Yep, that's true.
That was a fun podcast talking about cheese with Jordan Morris 2 years ago. And one of the things, Jesse, I don't know if you recall, was that I remembered a time going in to buy fancy cheese at a fancy cheese store in Silver Lake, Los Angeles, and put it together that Jordan was the one who sold me the cheese long before we knew each other.
That's tremendous.
And I feel confident that Jordan Morris, also a fellow former monger, would agree with me. Yeah, you need different knives for different cheeses. You listen, let me break it down real quick. You got your bloomy rind cheeses. That's your Breeze, right? The ones with the white mold. You got your crumbly blue cheeses. You got your washed rind cheeses. That's like your Munster, your Taleggio. They got that orangey color on the outside. Also soft. But then you got your hard cheeses, your cheddars. And then you got your semi-hard ones and your Torkies. You don't want to be mixing up your bloomy rind with your Torkie. Come on. Come on, Tara's husband, you know this. You can't just use a kitchen knife. At the very least, you need a couple of different knives so that you're not mixing up the different flavors of the cheese, particularly those runny cheeses. They're going to get all over that knife. Do you need different kinds of knives? I would argue, if life is offering you an opportunity to buy different kinds of knives, you take it. That's awesome. But at the very least, yes. Separate knives, at the very least, for your blue, your bloomy rind, your washed rind, and your hards. That's four knives. Three, you can get by with three. You can really get by with two. But get a fun cheese knife set. Puh. Jordan Morris would agree with me. And if he doesn't, then he's out of the monging union. I'll see it happen. I'll see it happen.
That's it for this week's episode. Submit your cases at MaximumFun.org/JJHO or email Hodgman@MaximumFun.org. No case is too small. We'll see you next time on the Judge John Hodgman podcast.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.